Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Son of a bitch. All right, I'm ready to go.
Get that voice ready, son.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, here for you Monday through Friday. And today is the Tuesday show, post-game Celtics 111-98 winners in Dallas, wrapping up a 3-1 road trip, which I guess seemed a little bit improbable after dropping a really terrible game to the Kings to start this road trip. But they bounced back. They've won three in a row. Random guys are stepping up. Terry Rozier is doing things. James Young is doing things. Kelly Olynyk is finishing like a madman around the rim. We're going to talk about it all. We're the Rain of Jays. John Corrales here, along with Jay King. What do you say, Jay? I mean, this is like a... Look, I was getting ready to come onto this show and just yell at Yogi Ferrell for half an hour, but we'll put that aside.
And the referees. Don't let the referees off the hook.
Man, screw those guys. Screw those guys. I never really like complaining about the refs, but because we won, that third quarter was the worst 12 minutes of basketball I've watched. It was so shitty. That was the worst.
It's okay to let a play go by without calling a goddamn foul. It really is. Let them fucking play.
Fair warning. Jay King's a little, I'm saucy
tired.
Tonight.
I'm tired. I'm cranky. I'm ready. I'm ready to let loose, baby.
A little saucy. We're here. We're recording after the game at 11:15 p.m. Eastern. Apparently, past Jay King's bedtime. Hopefully, Jay King will be able to sleep nicely in his Mack Weldon apparel, his Mack Weldon shirts and whatever, because that is the sponsor of tonight's show. We are brought to you by Mack Weldon. They believe in smart design, premium fabrics, simple shopping, MackWeldon.com. I feel like we're going to talk a little bit more about them later, but let's talk a little bit more about the Celtics, who got big contributions from the general contributors, Isaiah Thomas, 29 points, his 39th straight 20-plus point game, which means he will go for John Havlicek's record at home against Philly in a couple of days on Wednesday. But if you're listening to it on Tuesday, it's whatever. It's going to be on Wednesday. So nice game from him. And, Marcus Smart, let's get into Marcus Smart, because I think Marcus Smart has had one hell of a road trip. Okay. He and I think Kelly Olynyk are two guys who had awesome road trips.
Yes, they did. And Kelly Olynyk, it took him a while with the shoulder. He is really hurting teams lately. I think he had some good matchups too. And what really makes Olynyk valuable is that if you get a team with big plotting guys like Rudy Gobert or Derek Favors. Not that Favors or Gobert are particularly plotting, but they're not great at guarding the arc. Then Olynyk can pop to the three and hurt you that way. Against the Mavericks, they're switching stuff, and Olynyk can hurt the smaller guys in the switch, or he can pop when guys like Dirk Nowitzki are guarding him in the pick and pop. So it's like, no matter how you defend Olynyk, he is going to be a threat. And that's big for the Celtics, and it's been big for them since he was drafted. And then Smart was unbelievable in the first half. That was, I mean, he's not always going to hit threes like he did. He hit three in the first quarter, but he had that sweet little turnaround in the post. He had the nifty left-handed finish in the paint from Isaiah Thomas. He drew an offensive foul. He forced Deron Williams to get ejected, sort of, by taking another offensive foul to the chin. Smart was just everywhere in the first half. I believe his only miss in the first half was on a heave from three-quarters court, which almost went in, actually. But the classic Marcus Smart, like having a perfect shooting night. Oh, I'll just take this 75-footer that has no chance.
It's so funny. Damn. He does not. I mean, if you take away all of those heaves, which I don't even know what the numbers are, and maybe I'll look them up at some point, but I think he probably leads the league in heaves attempted, because he just does not care about attempting those heaves. Whereas a guy like James Young, who at the end of, I think it was the end of the third, had an opportunity to shoot the ball and passed it, and the clock ran out. And I made a joke about him preserving his shooting percentage at that point. So many guys do that. They preserve their shooting percentage. Marcus Smart does not give a shit.
Hey, with half a second left on the clock, you got to find Amir Johnson in the corner, because that's definitely enough time for him to get off his shot.
You can find him in the corner with half a quarter left in the game, and he might not get the shot off in time. But
real
that's
talk,
fine.
Real talk right there.
You are saucy.
It's late, man. It's late.
You know what you should do? You should put on a nice, comfortable Mac Weldon hoodie. You should just kind of cozy up in that. I know it's cold. I know it's been snowy. Boston's been getting like an entire winter crunched into one full week. But I think, Jay, if you put on your Mac Weldon gear and just relax with a nice cup of coffee, which I know you just made, you'll be comfortable. Because I'll tell you what, Mac Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing at this point, dear listener, right now. If you're not wearing Mac Weldon gear, Mac Weldon's better. They believe in smart design, premium fabrics, simple shopping. I have shopped on MacWeldon.com. Jay has shopped on MacWeldon.com. They gave us a little bit of a little shopping spree to try their stuff out so we can speak to you with our own knowledge. And I can tell you that what I bought, which was socks, underwear, and a couple of t-shirts, they're Pima shirts. Awesome. Awesome. I love it. I'm not joking. I'm not just saying this because they're paying me money. I'm telling you flat out, this is my experience. The stuff is really, really good. It feels good. It's the shirt is really soft. I got the long sleeve Pima shirt. It's great. And the more stuff I added to my shopping cart, the bigger discount I got, which means I just got more stuff. So they want you, and I'll tell you this, they want you to be comfortable. If you don't like your first pair, whatever you buy, you keep it. They will refund you. Their customer service is great. And Jay, I know you've bought the hoodies. And
most comfortable clothing I've ever had. I have right now. I have the socks. I'm a weirdo who sleeps in socks, and I'm wearing my Mac Weldon socks to sleep tonight.
Well, this was supposed to be an ad read, but we're dipping into the weird psyche of Jay King tonight. I'm sure the folks at Mac Weldon are going to be very happy to hear this particular part of the ad. But hey, whatever. It's fine. You know what? Because it's that comfortable, it'll make you a Jay King sock sleeper. Go to MacWeldon.com. Go to MacWeldon.com. In this weather, why not? 20% off. This is, you're not just buying good stuff. I'm getting you 20% off using the promo code LOCELTICS. So you go to MacWeldon.com, you shop, it's super easy, and you get discounts as you add things, and their customer service is great. If you don't like something, you just tell them, and you'll be able to return it or keep it and get your money back. And if you go now and use the promo code LOCELTICS, you'll get 20% off your purchase at MacWeldon.com. That's M-A-C-K, MacWeldon.com. You'll be super happy with that purchase, just like you're super happy with the Celtics 3-1 road trip.
Hold on. You know who else is super happy about that? Not super happy, but super impressed? Rick Carlisle. He just said to reporters in Dallas on the Celtics, they have a legitimate chance to get to the finals through the East with that team. The finals. Wow. We're talking about the finals.
Finals. You know, that's nice of Rick Carlisle to say that. An old Celtic. Yeah, and you know, he's the head of the coaches union, I believe, the coaches association. I'm sure he's giving his friend Brad Stevens a little, you know, gassing him up a little bit, but you know, that's nice. They do have a chance. You never know. I'll just say thanks, Rick, and move on.
Oh, no real discussion about it?
What, you want to have a discussion about it?
What would you put the chances at?
If they stay
as put.
Okay. As currently constructed, fully healthy against fully healthy, complete rest of the league competition.
Yep.
Like 15%.
To get to the finals?
To get to the finals. You got to go through a fully healthy Toronto team, which will be tough. And then you got to get through a fully healthy...
The Raptors are blowing up, man.
Yeah, sure. But that's fine. And maybe you say a fully healthy Washington team because they're on fire. I think they have... the percentage of getting to the Eastern Conference Finals is higher than that. I think they have a legitimate shot at getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that's somewhere... At the very worst, you can say 50-50, but to the finals, you still got to get through Cleveland, and I just don't give them that great a shot at getting past Cleveland. Which it's not about being a doubter, as some people might think. Like, that's just, it is what it is. I don't think they can get past Cleveland. Cleveland's a really good team. They're the champions. They get LeBron. Kevin Love's playing out of his mind. Kyrie Irving is an offensive monster. And so, yeah, you can say that Kyrie and Isaiah would cancel each other out because Kyrie plays no defense whatsoever, so Isaiah will go off, and sure. There's really no answer for LeBron, and I love that Jay Crowder can defend him as well as anybody can defend him, but I think when you get to that point, LeBron's going to LeBron, and the referees are going to favor him, and there's just going to be, you can't get into any trouble. If Jay Crowder gets a couple of early fouls, then you're screwed. I just don't think they can get past Cleveland.
All right. There you go. John doesn't believe it. Screw off, Carlisle.
Do you believe it? What percentage would you give it?
Probably 10.
Oh, so your percentage is lower than mine.
Yeah, no, I wasn't disagreeing with you. I think the Wizards and the Raptors are both tough. I think the Cavaliers are on another level from all those teams when healthy. And I think the Celtics are an improved roster. And I'll tell you what, I think, you know, in this game against the Mavericks, we talk a lot about how Al Horford has changed the Celtics and how much he's impacted them. And a lot of it is the offense. Obviously, he's a much better shooter than Jared Sullinger. He's a much bigger threat. He has helped their half-court offense a lot. But against teams like the Mavericks, who are really small and who play super quick lineups, Horford is so important because then you can play big. And you can play him at power forward, and you can have him chase around Harrison Barnes. And you can feel comfortable with that matchup, whereas the Mavericks don't feel as comfortable. and he can hurt smaller lineups in the post while not surrendering anything at the other end. So Horford is such a huge difference maker just in the malleability of their team and how many different ways they can play. Horford, he's just so huge. And I think we talked about this a ton at the beginning of the season. I don't know if we've talked about it as much lately, but when the games matter the most, Horford's versatility is going to mean a lot. And you saw it when he's chasing Harrison Barnes around screens and guarding Harrison Barnes in ISOs. And like, there aren't a lot of legitimate big men who can guard guys like that pretty well. And Horford's one of them. And then he does so many other things that he's a real difference maker. So he helps their chances against Cleveland. I still think Cleveland's the best team. But Boston's had a hell of a run. You know, 10 of their last 11 games, Avery Bradley's been hurt. Jay Crowder missed some of those games for personal issues. Now you've got the Jaylen Brown injury just when he was playing well. So it's like they've dealt with a lot of injuries so far and still number two in the East, still won 10 of their last 11 games, still rolling right now. So maybe Carlisle's onto something.
You know why we're the best podcast around? Because we bring you solid malleability talk on our show. You're never going to get malleability anywhere else on any other show, radio, nothing else. That's what makes us.
We talk
that's
about what, wearing socks while sleeping and malleability.
And
man.
Malleability. That really is what makes us top notch. Like to a point where I can kind of get cocky about it.
Yeah. I mean, we're the most malleable podcast there is.
Our malleability is off the chain. Do kids still say off the chain? Is that a thing?
I'm not a kid, man. I'm the wrong guy to ask. I'm getting old these days.
I was really trying to hit like the millennials. I hear they got a lot of money to spend, and maybe they'll buy some of our Mack Weldon gear. I think that I'm going to go with it. I'm going to say off the chain still is a thing.
You're off the chain.
The Celtics are two games out of the top seed, and geez, the Wizards just smoked the Warriors tonight. Smoked them. I mean, not the Warriors, the Thunder tonight. I think the Thunder, after playing the Warriors, kind of had a little bit of a letdown, and Washington came in and just dusted them. So Celtics, let's get into this a little bit, because they had, like you said, no Bradley, no Crowder for a couple of those games. There's injuries abound. There's, you know, Gerald Green, I get if he played sick, and he had a hell of a game playing sick in that first half. He was really hot for a stretch, kept the Celtics, kept them ahead of the Mavericks. They were maintaining that 10-point lead for a while.
There's so much I miss when I cover a game. I'm at my apartment right now. I watch the game on TV. There's so much I miss about covering a game in person, but I love listening to Scalabrine just crack up when Gerald Green hits preposterous shots. And Green was doing it a lot in the first half, and he was just openly laughing at some of the shots Gerald Green was taking and making. And it's like, it's just what Gerald Green does. He fires wild, wild shots, and sometimes they go in, and sometimes he gets hot, and he got hot even though he was sick. So that was a real joy for me, listening to Scal just giggling at Gerald Green's shot selection and shot making.
So since the funeral game, quote unquote, the Wizards and the Celtics, they've basically been going toe to toe. And so the Celtics, without key guys, how do you go out west and go 3-1 after dropping that game against the Kings? They go out and beat Portland, and they beat Utah without Crowder, without Bradley, and then they go into Dallas, and now Dallas had been playing well. I guess the question is, like, how are the Celtics doing this now when earlier in the season they had all of these injuries and they couldn't combat them? I feel like some of it is just being more comfortable with each other and being able to absorb the loss of a guy or two guys or three guys, Jaylen Brown out, whereas they weren't comfortable enough with each other before, and so they didn't know how to trust each other and how to play with each other when there's a guy that's missing. Part of it is Isaiah Thomas just being Isaiah Thomas and stepping up when they needed to, and part of it, I think, is Marcus Smart settling into more of a role and Kelly Olynyk getting healthy and having that shoulder kind of come around a little bit, and he's starting to play really, really well. He's finished a lot around the rim lately. He's been more aggressive. He had a drive today in the third quarter, I think it was, I think, single best individual play I've ever seen Kelly Olynyk make. It was aggressive. He went through like three guys. He caught the ball like at the top of the key, went through three guys, finished at the rim. That was like the most fluid, aggressive offensive move I've ever seen him make.
I mean, Kelly Olynyk's made some good plays in his life, Jack.
Individually, I think that was just, I think, his best individual play. He's made a lot of great plays. But, okay, but going to the larger point, like, I think some of this is some, quote-unquote, coming together, to use the cliche, for the Celtics, that they were able to go against a Portland team that's, you know, not great, but still dangerous, a Utah team that's really good and long and good defensively, and that's a team that they would normally struggle against, and then a Dallas team that had been playing pretty well. For them to do all of that, that's pretty impressive for the Celtics.
I mean, they've put together a lot of good wins lately. Ever since the funeral game, they've just been on a roll. And I think part of it is just they were always going to be better later in the season because they're relying on Jaylen Brown, who is a rookie and is learning the game, and Terry Rozier, who's in rotation for the first time, and Al Horford, who, as seamlessly as he seemed to fit in, still needed to learn some things about his new team. Isaiah Thomas, him just rocket shipping to the top has changed them. You know, since the middle of December, their offensive efficiency is 112.3, which is just out of this world.
Like, that's ridiculous.
They have just been scoring and scoring and scoring. Doesn't matter if it's a great defense like Utah. Sometimes it almost feels like they're even better against a great defense like Utah because traditional bigs aren't built to stop guys like Al Horford and Kelly Olynyk and Jonas Jerebko even, who pop to the three-point arc rather than live in the paint. So the Celtics' offense has been just a killer. Their defense is like becoming good enough, I guess. They've rebounded at a lot better rate. And you know, I don't think their defense was as bad as it showed for a month and a half or a month or whatever it was when they were really had their lulls on that end. But their offense really is that good. Their offense is among the very elite in the league. Isaiah Thomas is unstoppable, and they just rain threes, man. They rain J's.
They're raining. Oh, that is a perfect transition into our Twitter comments using the hashtag Rainin' J's from one of our super fans at Rifesy. Olynyk playing great in the fourth. He really is. He's constantly tweeting us, which is awesome. I love it. Using the hashtag Rainin' J's. Olynyk playing great in the fourth quarter. He also, with the game ground to a halt in the third, which we are all pissed off about. And I like this one. Can the Celtics ask to have D. Will allowed back in the game? Jokic seems better right now. I was actually kind of upset when Deron Williams got kicked out of the game because I was like, ah, shit, that means Yogi Ferrell is going to come back in. And I don't know if anybody's ever said that in their lives, but that was true. You think about, like, that's such a great story. I wish he didn't kill the Celtics for a little while, but because they won, I can kind of get into. Like, he, a guy who had a pretty nice college career at Indiana, undrafted, goes to Brooklyn, and they on a 10-day, and they release him. And now Dallas picks him up, and he's going off. So first of all, thank you, Brooklyn, for letting go of a guy and staying shitty, because here's a guy that could have helped you win a few of these games. But thanks. Keep doing your thing, Brooklyn. Amazing that he all of a sudden comes to Dallas. I think they signed him to a multi-year deal now. He stands to make a few million dollars. So good for him. But good for him in a non-like Celtics. Like, today was not – I was not happy about what he was doing today. But in general, good for him. That's a good story. It's impressive stuff.
The man can hoop but a little bit.
He can play. He can play. So, at Vandell78, when's the last time you witnessed defense so good that it'll get opposing team starting point guard tossed in the first? Marcus Smart, let's get into Marcus Smart a little bit more. His defense, is he going to make an all NBA defensive team?
This year? No, I doubt it.
But he's playing so well.
I mean, yeah.
Defensively. He's got one grown man take the ball away from you move every night.
Look, every night. But those awards are voted on by the media. And a lot of it is just who gets the most buzz. You know, as good as Avery Bradley was defensively last season, I don't think he gets it if Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum don't come out and say Avery Bradley's the best on-ball perimeter defender in the league. So a lot of that is buzz. I don't know if Marcus Smart has all the buzz. Some of the other guys do. Some of it is just guys with stature make it. But, I mean, Marcus Smart's a menace. That is very
really
clear.
Is,
and he's been shooting the hell out of the ball lately. So that's nice.
I will say that I know that Marcus Smart and his shooting not good, but he I don't think he was ever really as bad. Well, I shouldn't say ever. I don't think he has been this season as bad as the numbers might show because of the heaves that we talked about and some of the heat check bullshit that he's thrown up. If you focus on just the shots that he takes within the flow of the offense, he's actually been okay. And those catch and shoot corner threes, which I keep going to, have been pretty good. So I think Marcus Smart, if he just is more disciplined, which he has been, and cuts some of the extraneous bullshit out, I think he's actually not a bad shooter. I'm not saying he's a good shooter, but he's not a guy that kills you, and his attempts are way down, especially compared to the beginning of the season. I think that his shooting has ceased to be a topic of discussion for good reason, because I think it's kind of evolved to a point where it's not so bad. It's tolerable. It's
as long as you don't take the pull-ups early in the shot clock,
yeah,
then it's fine, because if they're in rhythm and open and the Celtics have already looked for better options, cool. If he's in the corner anytime, cool. Just stay away from the bullshit ones, and he typically has lately.
Yeah, I think that's what's happened. I think he's kind of stayed away from those a little bit. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I think Marcus Smart playing that kind of game, I'm happy with that. I think Marcus Smart playing his defense with a little more discipline, which he's been playing with shooting wise, I think it's pretty good. I like what Marcus Smart is doing. What else? You know, we got Amir Johnson. I want to say Amir Johnson. I feel like his offensive rebounding has really been pretty good lately. And I know Amir Johnson he's gone after this season, and it's some games he's not great, and he seems like a little bit of a liability out there. I think part of this road trip success, I want to give Amir Johnson some shine. I think his offensive rebounding, his rebounding in general, has been pretty good. You know, 7 rebounds tonight. It only says 2 offensive rebounds in my box score. I feel like he had a couple more than that, but I guess not.
I think they probably got it right, man. But
No, I feel like he's been crashing the boards.
That one
and five assists. He played pretty well tonight.
Yeah, he moved his feet well. He had a nice game. His rebounding has dipped this year, which is weird to me, because the Celtics, you know, Jared Sullinger went away, and Amir Johnson, theoretically, without Jared Sullinger rebounding, should have had more rebound opportunities. Instead, hasn't worked like that. But when he's as active as he is, and when he's sliding his feet and staying in front of guys, he's a very helpful defender.
Yeah. The last thing I want to mention, just to mention it, is that Isaiah Thomas, I know he gets a ton of shit for his defense or lack thereof. It's never for lack of effort, as opposed to guys like Kyrie Irving and Damian Lillard or James Harden. Theirs are complete lack of effort. I think Isaiah Thomas had some pretty nice defensive plays tonight.
That was a great, great hustle play when, who was it, Devin Harris rose up for the three, and all of a sudden Isaiah Thomas came flying back into the play. I will say, though, like, he looked like a toddler when Dirk was posting him up.
That was hilarious. That really was hilarious.
And the Celtics opted for that strategy. They decided to switch everything, make the Mavericks beat us from the mid-range. And sometimes that left Isaiah Thomas guarding Dirk Nowitzki in the mid-range, and Dirk literally could have looked down like a couple of miles and seen Thomas and just turned and shot. Like, there was no bothering that shot whatsoever.
But you know what?
He was shooting practice shots over the top. It was pretty funny.
But at the end, Dirk Nowitzki was 7 of 17, 41%. So that wasn't the worst strategy. And here's the thing about Dirk. At this point in his career, he's not driving by Isaiah Thomas. He's not going to put the ball on the floor and get by him. So wherever he is on the floor, as hilarious as that looks, Isaiah Thomas getting low and forcing Dirk to take turnaround mid-range jumpers, that's not a bad strategy.
I do think the strategy, at least in the first half, it really worked. You know, the Mavericks, they shot 51%, sure, but they were hitting a lot of tough mid-range shots, and they only hit five threes, and they only got to the line four times. Obviously, the free throw things switched a little bit in the third quarter when the referees decided that any hint of contact was a foul. But for the most part, I thought the switching and forcing them to shoot shots and hindering the rest of their game, that worked. And, you know, Celtics only allowed 5 of 21 shooting in the fourth quarter. They've just gotten it done lately. They have just gotten it done.
You get all kinds of crazy things. Isaiah Thomas playing defense. James Young doing things. That's weird. Kelly Olynyk being aggressive. That's not something that we're used to. Marcus Smart being disciplined from three, that's not something we're used to. It's a lot of weird things, but they're all positive things. And it amounted to a 111-98 win over the Dallas Mavericks and a 3-1 road trip. And now what appears to be some sort of potential trap game with the 76ers, who are no joke anymore. We got to say that the Sixers are not like some pushover anymore. That they're playing pretty well, even though Embiid is out. Can we maybe just have a brief mention about that? Embiid hurt again, a torn meniscus at this point.
That's tough.
Like,
tough.
That Poor is kids. Just, I mean, how much more is his body going to break down? Like, that's scary to me. As great as he has been, and I think he should have been an all-star this year. But
no.
I think he should have been an all-star this year. Probably didn't play enough. Yeah, I think he should have been.
He's
I think
playing
he should
like
have,
25 minutes a game, and he missed every back-to-back. Come on.
But he's putting up all-star level numbers.
For a 9-win team. Get out of here.
I think he could have been an all-star this year. But regardless, he's playing well enough to even have that discussion. And so
I will say he's been great. I don't
He's been great.
But if you're doing it as a 25 minute per game part-time player, get out of here with that. No. Unless you're Manu Ginobili and you are an absolute Hall of Fame killer and your team is fantastic, get out of here with that.
How awesome would it have been to have, well, it doesn't even matter because he would have skipped the game anyway because of the injury. But I thought when Sam Packard and I were putting our teams together, I put Embiid on my team and I was fine with it. So whatever. But the Celtics playing Embiidless, the 76ers in a couple of games, a couple of days on Wednesday night, which has a real potential to be a letdown game because they face the Bulls the next night on the road, and that is on national TV, and that's the last game for the All-Star break, and that could be the game Isaiah Thomas breaks John Havlicek's streak of 20-plus point scoring games. So he's at 39. The record is 40. So he could do it. He could tie it at home against Philly and break it against the Bulls the next night. I do have a little bit of fear about that Philly game. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll talk about that when it happens. We'll be here after that game. I want to thank everybody for listening. Tune in to the rest of the podcast network, the Locked On Podcast Network. Lots of great shows. You know, Locked On, every team. Every team is represented. Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy. If you want to talk about Locked On 76ers, they're out there. If you want to talk about whatever, you know, you want to get a kind of a recap of Locked On Mavericks, they're out there. Check them out. See what they're saying.
None of them, though, are as malleable as we are.
No, we've got malleability covered. no one can mess with us when it comes to malleability. And I challenge Millie's to throw malleability into the next version of our rap open.
Yep.
Gauntlet dropped. Do it, Millie's.
My man, Millie's. We got to have him on the show soon.
That would be great. That would be great because he's a huge, huge Celtics fan. Obviously, if he's doing rap openings for, you know, the best podcast around, he's paying attention. So we got to figure out what works with his schedule because his career is actually going pretty well. It's blowing up. So I don't know if we can get him on. We got to get him on before he becomes too big to be on a podcast.
Shout out to Millie's. I don't think he'll ever become too big for us. I think our podcast is shooting him to the top, man.
You think?
If he becomes big, I think he'll reflect on the podcast intro and not his song with Jadakiss and Sean Kingston and stuff as the moment that turned his career around.
So when he's accepting a Grammy, you think he's going to thank us?
I mean, I think we might get a Grammy.
Look, all I want, Millie's, you're listening. I know you're listening. When you get the Grammy, you don't even have to thank us. Don't worry about that. But
hold on. Shout out to Mama Millie's too, because I met Millie's mother at one of the games, and she's
oh, really?
A great person. Yeah.
Awesome.
Also a listener.
That's great. Awesome. Really?
Yep.
Well, hey, Mama Millie's, how you doing? Thanks for listening. This is great. I didn't know that. Yep. So I don't want to ride coattails or anything like that. But here's what I do want. Millie's, when you're accepting your Grammy or whatever, just get us into one of the parties. Just get us into the party. That's all I want. I want to just get in there and just kind of have that one crazy Grammy party night. I just kind of want to see what that's about.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I think that'd be pretty cool.
I'm in.
All right. So shout out to Millie's. Shout out to Mac Weldon, who makes very comfortable gear. They're the Millies of clothing.
Malleable clothes.
I think.
Malleable clothes.
They very malleable. They make very malleable clothing. Check them out. They do everything. Underwear, socks, shirts. They look good. They perform well. They've got their silver line that's naturally antimicrobial, so they eliminate odor. So go to MacWeldon.com. Use the promo code LO Celtics, you are going to get 20% off on top of all of the other discounts you get while shopping their wonderful website. Thanks for listening. We're back tomorrow because we're here every day of the week, Monday through Friday. This is the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.